From Pacifico Radio, this is Democracy Now!
I would like to know why the United States trained these soldiers and sent them to my country to kill hundreds, thousands of innocent people. Why?
Close to 10,000 people march on Fort Benning, Georgia. Almost 100 are arrested, including a number of nuns, protesting what used to be called the School of the Americas. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. In an expose on the front page of the New York Times Sunday, says the Bush administration has begun to monitor Iraqis in the United States in an effort to identify potential domestic terrorist threats posed by sympathizers of the Baghdad regime. This according to senior government officials. The previously undisclosed intelligence program involves tracking thousands of Iraqi citizens and Iraqi Americans with dual citizenship who are attending American universities or working at private corporations. Some of the targets of the operation are being electronically monitored under the authority of national security warrants. Others are being selected for recruitment as informers. In the event of an American invasion of Iraq, the Times writes, officials would intensify the program's mission through arrests and detentions of Iraqis or Iraq sympathizers if they're believed to be planning domestic terrorist operations. In Washington, President Bush's top national security advisors have begun discussing the creation of a new domestic intelligence agency that would take over responsibility for counterterrorism spying and analysis from the FBI. The agency may be modeled on the British M15, which is empowered to collect and analyze intelligence within Britain. The effort by intelligence agencies, particularly the FBI, to strengthen and expand their counterterrorism programs comes at a time of serious discussion in Congress and in the Bush administration about whether to create this domestic intelligence program, known as the MI5 in Britain, that collects information about internal threats. Senior Bush administration counterterrorism officials gathered on Veterans Day at a White House meeting directed by Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor, to discuss whether to strip the FBI of its domestic security responsibilities. The meeting was first reported by The Washington Post. UN weapons inspectors arrived in Baghdad today for the first time in 4 years to search for weapons of mass destruction. Preliminary inspections are expected to begin on November 27th. Iraq's Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz said his government is all ready to comply fully with the arms inspectors, but insists no weapons of mass destruction would be found. Over the weekend, Aziz also indicated that Baghdad would launch strikes against Israel if it is attacked by Britain and the United States. On Sunday, the Iraqi news agency reported U.S. and British warplanes killed 7 people in a bombing that occurred as Allied planes patrolled the northern no-fly zone. The warplanes hit targets after they came under fire from Iraqi anti-aircraft batteries. There's great disagreement as to whether attacks against no-fly zone patrols would violate the U.N. Security Council resolution and clear the way for military action. The no-fly zones are not authorized by the United Nations. They are imposed solely by Britain and the United States. In Washington, the Bush administration is laying the groundwork for the resumption of nuclear testing and the development of new nuclear weapons. This, according to a report in the San Jose Mercury News. Last week, Congress approved a defense authorization bill that calls for nuclear weapons laboratories to be ready to resume testing and for the nuclear labs to begin work on the robust nuclear earth penetrator designed for underground targets. Critics fear new nuclear testing could prompt Russia, China, India, and Pakistan to do likewise. Meanwhile, on Friday, former U.S. President Jimmy Carter called on the United States to disarm itself of biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons and to set an example for the rest of the world. Carter said, quote, "There's a sense that the United States has become too arrogant, too dominant, too self-centered, proud of our wealth, believing that we deserve to be the richest and most powerful and influential nation in the world." Carter is set to receive the Nobel Peace Prize on December 10th. In the West Bank, Israeli forces have reoccupied the city of Hebron and arrested 40 Palestinians. This came, they say, in response to the killing of 12 Israelis on Friday night. Israeli officials originally reported that Palestinian gunmen had massacred 12 Israeli worshippers who were turning from their Sabbath prayers at the Tomb of the Patriarchs, but it later emerged that all of the men killed were either soldiers, paramilitary police, or members of an armed settler militia. In other Israeli news, guards aboard an El Al flight from Tel Aviv to Istanbul restrained a man carrying a pocket knife. The man, an Israeli Arab, reportedly tried to hijack the plane by attempting to break into the cockpit. Israeli officials say they believe the man acted alone. In Washington, President Bush's top national security advisors have begun discussing the creation of a new domestic intelligence agency. The government is nearly ready to go forward with military tribunals for suspected al-Qaeda operatives in U.S. custody in Guantanamo Bay and Afghanistan. This according to the Washington Post. The military proceedings are contemplated only for a small number of prisoners held in camps outside the United States and would be conducted outside this country. The United Nations has found evidence a leading Afghan warlord and strong ally of the U.S. has tortured and possibly executed witnesses to stop them from testifying against him in a war crimes inquiry. This according to a report in the London Guardian.
What shall we do with the school of torture once in Panama and now in Georgia? What shall we do with the school of torture early in the morning? Close it up no more to open, close it up no more to open, close it up no more to open early in the morning. And it's hauled away and up, we rise, hauled away and up, we rise, hauled away and up, we rise, a new day is dawning. Hauled away and up, we rise, hauled away and up, we rise, hauled away and up, we rise, a new day is dawning. What shall we do with the cruel dictator? What shall we do with the cruel dictator? What shall we do?
What shall we do with the school of torture? Jolie Rickman here on Democracy Now!'s War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Estimates of up to 10,000 people descended on Fort Benning, Georgia this weekend to protest the U.S. military program that trains Latin American soldiers, the government says, in combat, counterinsurgency, and counter-narcotics. Graduates of the School of the Americas are responsible for some of the worst human rights abuses in Latin America. Among the SOA's 60,000 graduates, Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega, members of El Salvador's notorious death squads implicated in the massacre of thousands of men, women, and children, in one case, six Jesuit priests, their housekeeper and her daughter, also Salvadoran Archbishop Oscar Romero, high-level military officials in Augusto Pinochet's repressive regime in Chile, Argentine generals, Guatemalan army officers accused of many thousands of killings. For more than a decade, the Catholic priest and decorated Vietnam vet Father Roy Bourgeois and his umbrella organization SOA Watch, School of the Americas Watch, have led a growing international movement to close down the School of the Americas. Since the annual protests began, hundreds of demonstrators have been arrested for acts of peaceful civil disobedience. Yesterday, outside the gates of Fort Benning, Georgia, Father Roy Bourgeois addressed the crowds. Video. We will go to his address in just a minute. But right now we have Father Roy Bourgeois on with us just outside the gates of Fort Benning, Georgia. Welcome, Father Roy Bourgeois.
Good morning, Amy.
It's good to have you with us. Can you tell us what happened in this year's protest?
Well, it was just incredible. Over 10,000 from all over the country gathered, college students, high school students, veterans, seniors, parents with their children. Once again, we're gathered at the main gate of Fort Benning to call for the closing of a school that we see as a terrorist camp for Latin America, as a school of torture. Over 96 were arrested. They are presently being held in the county jail. They will be arraigned this morning at 10 a.m. And we have presently in prison 26 of our people, women and men scattered in federal facilities all over the country. We are here really as peacemakers. We're here to call for the closing of a school that we see causing untold suffering and death in Latin America.
Can you tell us specifically about this weekend, about the changes that have taken place over the last years, especially with the building of the fence?
Well, what happened after 9/11, they erected this 12-foot chain-link fence topped with barbed wire with all of these signs that say, no trespassing. Of course, they try to say to us, behind this fence, they're teaching democracy, which is ridiculous. We say you don't teach democracy behind the barrel of a gun. This is a combat school every year training over 1,000 soldiers in commando operations, psychological warfare, and you don't teach democracy behind this fence. Well, the fence could not stop us. Last year, over 10,000 gathered, and over about 85 were arrested. Nor could the fence stop us this year, Amy, as the 10,000 gathered in front of the fence, holding signs, coffins, putting crosses. We turned this fence really yesterday into a large memorial wall, putting the photographs of the many victims, people killed by graduates of this school. And about 100 people went around or over the fence. They were arrested, of course, charged with criminal trespass. Will be arraigned this morning, and of course are prepared to go to prison. Most will be going to prison for 6 months, hit with a stiff fine. I just want to say that they cannot silence us. The truth cannot be silenced. They send us to prison, and we speak from prison. Every time they send us to prison, and again, there are 26 of our people in prison now. Another large group will be going, including in this group, six Catholic nuns, college students, veterans, and others. We will speak from prison. We are not going away until this school is shut down. President Bush keeps saying that we've got to go after those terrorist training camps and shut them down. What better place to start than in our backyard? Right here at Fort Benning, Georgia, we have a training camp for terrorists in Latin America, all paid for by U.S. taxpayer money. And we are here to keep alive the memory of the victims, to say not in our name is this going to continue.
I want to thank you very much, Father Roy Bourgeois, for being with us from just outside the gates of Fort Benning, Georgia. We're going to go now to a major excerpt of a documentary that has just been released called Hidden in Plain Sight, which looks at the nature and consequences of U.S. foreign policy toward Latin America as seen through the prism of the U.S. Army School of the Americas. It's directed by John Smejkula and narrated by actor Martin Sheen. And it weaves the personal testimonies of Hector Aristizabal, Diana Ortiz, Ana Chavez Fisher, affected by School of the Americas graduates, along with a debate between the school's defenders and detractors, people like Army Officers General John Lemoyne, as well as the Uruguayan writer Eduardo Galeano. You also hear from Christopher Hitchens, Michael Parenti, as well as a number of Congress members like Barbara Lee and Massachusetts' Jim McGovern. We're going to go right now to Hidden in Plain Sight, narrated by Martin Sheen.
Founded in Panama in 1946, the School of the Americas trained American soldiers in jungle warfare and counterinsurgency tactics so they could more effectively protect and expand U.S. political, economic, and strategic interest in Latin America. The goal of post-World War II U.S. foreign policy was expressed by George Kennan, who said, quote, "We, the United States, represent only 6.3% of the world's population, but we control 50 to 60% of the world's resources." Our responsibility in this new era must be to maintain the disparity, unquote.
We're good at what we train in.
Major General John LeMoyne, Fort Benning Base Commander.
The world, at least in my lifetime, almost four decades in the Army. We've done it fairly well, fairly consistently, in compliance with the American ideals, usually, generally. If you want to assist your neighbors, why not make part of that trying to assist their military?
Over the years, SOA students have been trained in such things as commando tactics, military intelligence, psychological operations, sniper marksmanship, counter-narcotics, and peacekeeping operations. Courses range in duration from 2 weeks to 1 year.
Our State Department, our Department of Defense, has staunchly defended the role of the school in international cooperation and hemispheric cooperation. But the critics, of course, have not been satisfied.
We believe that this is a school that does not promote democracy and human rights, but
California Democratic Congressman
and teaching military young people, actually, how to kill.
Okay, range NCOs, make sure that they're using the short-range sight.
My younger brother was kidnapped, tortured, and killed by the paramilitaries.
Hector Estesabal.
In Colombia. They shot him 3 times in the head. His intestines were empty. All his ribs were broken. He had bruises all over. And his eyes had been hurt in some way. He had blood in his eyes, inside. I was in shock to see my younger brother cold and wounded, and to think that I couldn't save him. So many people are killed every day, not only in Colombia, in the world. And I live in this society that is the biggest financier of these problems. The School of the Americas is a school for people who do this.
The School of the Americas is one of many instruments which the United States uses to impose the status quo upon other countries using force and violence. The important question is, why would U.S. leaders be doing that sort of thing? They say they do it for democracy, to fight communism, to stop terrorism, to secure American lives, or to defend American interests. Now, when they say defending American interests, they're getting a little closer to the truth. But whose American interest? Not the interests of me or you or the taxpayer. It's the interests of large corporate investors. So the goal, and this is seen in the kinds of countries and regimes they support and in the kinds that they attack, the goal is very rational and very persistent and very consistent. And it is to make the world safe for that 1 or 2% at the top who own most of the world.
The first beneficiaries of a country's resources, human and material, must be what's called U.S. interest. And if people in the country think the first beneficiaries should be the people of that country, well, they're known communist proponents, and you got to do something about them. What you do about them is a lot of things, but if nothing else works, you kill them.
Author Noam Chomsky, you are listening to Democracy Now! As we play Hidden in Plain Sight, a feature-length documentary that is directed by John Smihula, narrated by Martin Sheen. We'll be back with the documentary in a minute.
I think we are a part of something far bigger than we understand, and I think history will say this was a very...
You are listening to Democracy Now!'s War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. 10,000 people marched on the base at Fort Benning, Georgia, yesterday, protesting what was called School of the Americas. It has changed its name, but many feel that it has not changed its purpose. We are listening now to a documentary that was produced by John Smihula. It is narrated by Martin Sheen. As we go back to Hidden in Plain Sight, this is Hector Aristizabal. He was a victim of torture in Colombia. He is now with the Colombian Children's Peace Fund.
I was a student of a university. I was studying psychology. And anyone who was in this university was considered a subversive or a potential communist, a potential threat to the government. And I was disappeared for 10 days. I was in the chamber of torture for 3 days, but I was very lucky. They used the water, they put you in water for several minutes and ask you to speak, and they use electricity in your body, mostly your genitals. They use a technique that was created by the Argentinians. It's called El Potro, where they tie you in the back and they hang you there. And when they hit you, you feel it. I was without sleep and without food and water and not being able to go to the restroom for 3 days and three nights.
I think that the School of the Americas reminds people in a very blunt way that Americans too can be collectively responsible for torture, for murder, for dictatorship, and not just for defending these things
Author
or covering them up
Hitchens.
Or being complicit with them, but actually teaching people how to do them, which is more than complicity. It's direct responsibility. And, of course, one would expect there would have to be an HQ of it somewhere. It's not paranoid to think that a policy that relied so much upon repression would need a training school. There'd have to be one, and now we know where it is. And the extraordinary thing is, the astonishing thing is that everybody knows where it is, and it's still there. In other words, you would have hoped that an attempt would be made to keep such an institution secret, if only out of embarrassment. But no, the decision is to flaunt it, say, yeah, you bet we do this. You bet we do.
This is not a complicated issue. It's very simple. It's about men with guns.
Father Roy
Bourgeois. It's about bullies. Train at this school from Latin America, hundreds of them every year, and how to be commando, psychological warfare, counterinsurgency techniques.
55 different programs of instruction dealing with various aspects of security and development.
SOA Commandant Colonel Glenn Widener.
Of the course offerings when I was commandant had any field training running around with guns at all. And yet they are perpetually mischaracterized by Father Roy and company as being nothing but combat training.
Yes, there have been some negative actions by some of those who attended. But when you look at the thousands of people who have been through the School of the Americas,
Republican Georgia Congressman Matt Collins,
we never talk about. All we want to do is focus in on the controversies and the negatives, and that's wrong. And what really bothers me about that, these negatives and this controversy and these actions who only look at the negative part are coming from people from the church. The church is supposed to look at the good too. But yet they only focus on the negative. They don't even think about the good that they've done.
Father Roy Bourgeois has led the growing movement to shut down the School of the Americas. He was a naval officer and a recipient of the Purple Heart in the Vietnam War. Ordained a Maranao Catholic priest in 1972, he was assigned to a mission in La Paz, Bolivia, where he lived for 5 years, until he was arrested and tortured for his defense of the poor and forced to leave the country.
This issue, the School of the Americas, must be put in the context of our foreign policy.
Father Roy Bourgeois.
That's what we're after. We want to change our country's foreign policy in Latin America. That's really based on greed, on selfishness, on exploiting the cheap labor and their resources.
Father Roy and many other U.S. citizens began to organize against the School of the Americas following a massacre that made the front page of newspapers around the world. On November 16, 1989, at the University of Central America in El Salvador, 6 Jesuit priests, their co-worker and her 15-year-old daughter were brutally murdered. A congressional task force headed by Representative Joseph Moakley investigated the massacre and found that of the 26 soldiers responsible, 19 had been trained at the School of the Americas.
26 out of 26 had been thoroughly trained in killing by their own military before they ever came to the School of the Americas.
SOA Commandant Glenn
Widener. How about the fact that 26 out of 26 were practicing Catholics and had probably been to Mass the previous Friday? You know, the idea that they had to come to the School of the Americas to learn to be criminals is one that I just can't accept.
My name is Anna Chavez Fisher, and I came to the United States in 1983. And at that point, there was a civil war going on in my country, El Salvador. My husband, Francisco, he went to work one Saturday, and I didn't have chance to say goodbye. And at night, I was expecting him to come. That Saturday, he didn't come, and I waited and I waited. And the next morning, I was shaking. And I remember talking to one of my neighbors, and she said, "Don't look among the people who are alive. Look among the dead people." Deep in my heart, I didn't want to accept that probably he has been killed. And I remember walking really fast to the cemetery, and I saw just his feet. They were ready to bury without recognizing him. And I saw him, and he had a shot in his eye. It was so painful. So much atrocities, pain, and so many mothers crying, so many mothers looking for their children, so many widows crying. I would like to know why the United States trained these soldiers and sent them to my country to kill hundreds, thousands of innocent people. Why?
In September of 1996, El Departamento de Defensa.
This is Uruguayan writer Eduardo Galeano. He says, in September of 1996, the United States Department of Defense formulated an interesting confession that had little or no public impact. The North American military power admitted they had made what they called a mistake. This mistake consisted of having trained Latin American militaries in the techniques of torture, kidnapping, assassination, and forced disappearances. Anyway, an error, a tiny error, that cost the lives of thousands and thousands of people in Latin America.
A manual on interrogation and on torture was published by the School of the Americas.
Christopher Hitchens.
A manual on sabotage and assassination and the recruiting of criminal elements for counter-revolution was published and distributed in the case of Nicaragua by the U.S. government. They openly said what it was they hoped to do. The Guatemalan death squads have said, and all the evidence that has been uncovered in Guatemala proves, that they didn't make a move without running it by the local CIA station chief. He didn't just know who the torturers were, he picked them and trained them. We've been informed that the Operation Condor, an alliance of death squads in Paraguay, Chile, Argentina and Brazil at least, the internationalization of the death squad principle called Operation Condor was run through an American switchboard in Panama, and anyone involved in that death squad operation knew that they could go use it and have secure communications, which means, among other things, that everything they said and did was known about in Washington.
The manual was never used in the program of instruction.
Fort Benning Base Commander Major General John
LeMoyne. It was listed as a reference. 49 copies were issued to students. 47 were recovered and destroyed. It was never used in class as part of the class text. If I remember the numbers right, I think there are 21 references in the manual that are quoted by the critics. The Bible is more forthright in its discussions, in its descriptions, than those 21 phrases.
Labor leaders, human rights advocates, college leaders, they were victims of these torture manuals. And what did they say? Oh, we withdrew the torture manuals. We don't teach this anymore. How do you just withdraw torture manuals like they're withdrawing faulty GM trucks?
The striking thing as ever is that the dirty secret is not a dirty secret. It's hidden in plain sight. They almost boast about it. And in a way, that's part of the operation, I think. It's supposed to frighten people. It's supposed to be terroristic. It's supposed to let people know, yeah, we will come and get you. We will cut off your face. We will make your children disappear or have them tortured in front of your wife. All of that we will do, and we know how.
No se torturaba solo a los culpables de los presuntos delitos.
Writer Eduardo Galeano says they didn't just torture those presumed guilty of presumed acts of subversion. They tortured anyone who could potentially turn out to be dangerous. But what was the dangerometer that measured the dangerousness of the dangerous ones? The hand that ran and the hand that runs, the dangerometer, knew very well that the dangerous are the ones who think, the ones who doubt, the ones who say no.
Los que dudan, los que dicen no.
Sister Diana Ortiz.
In September of 1987, I traveled to the highlands of Guatemala to live and work alongside the Mayan people. My ministry was teaching children how to read and write in their native language, and I was placing the Bible within their own cultural context. A year after my arrival, I started to receive death threats. I heard a man's voice. Hola, mi amor. Hello, my love. And for me, that was the beginning of the nightmare. I was interrogated, tortured, and repeatedly raped. A doctor found over 111 cigarette burns on my back alone. There was a fourth man present during my torture. He was an American. I was also lowered into a pit that was packed with human bodies. Bodies of children, women, and men. Some of them were lying face up and caked with blood. Some were dead, some were alive. Even as I'm describing this right now, I feel like I can see them, and that I can hear them. Stop.
The old school in America has been investigated 12 times by outside agencies.
Major General John
Lemoyne. Every single case, it's been given a clean bill of health, and in fact, a very strong stamp of approval. Amnesty International has reviewed this school and said it's the best institution to help our Latin brothers. I find that hard to argue with as a member of Amnesty International.
General Lemoyne's statements are completely false. No one in Amnesty has ever or would ever make such a statement endorsing any military training, even though we don't oppose it officially. In fact, I've checked with our officials in Washington, in New York, in London. No one's ever heard of this statement. It's very clear it's nothing Amnesty would ever say.
This is not a monastery, a seminary, a peace academy.
Father Robichaud.
This is a combat school. And that's why they're coming here, to get those skills. And they're going back to defend that system. Who's the enemy? They're the poor. They are who they've always been. Where's the enemy located? Outside of the borders of their countries? No. They're within their borders. They are the poor who threaten the army, who threaten that socioeconomic system there, who call for reform, just wages, adequate housing, schools, hospitals.
The people who currently feel that they own and run the earth,
Christopher Hitchens,
feel that it is disposable, that it belongs to them now. They have the right to destroy it if it doesn't go their way. They feel that they have the power of life and death over others, even though they've never been awarded it.
U.S. foreign policy is brilliant. It is the most successful imperial policy of any country in the history of the world. The
Michael
British
Prenti.
Empire is nothing compared to what the U.S. has been able to do. All over the world, the U.S. is everywhere, intervening all the time, consistently on the side of the privileged few, the corporate powers, the interests of wealth, and consistently against those who want to challenge the interests of wealth.
There was revolution in El Salvador because people were being abused by the powers that be.
Massachusetts Democratic Congressmember Jim McGovern.
One of the failures of the Reagan administration, I think, was the fact that they didn't have a sense of history. They didn't have a sense of understanding of what the realities of El Salvador really were.
The government of El Salvador, making every effort to guarantee democracy, free labor unions,
President Ronald Reagan,
freedom of religion, and a free press, is under attack by guerrillas dedicated to the same philosophy that prevails in Nicaragua, Cuba, and, yes, the Soviet Union.
Now, what Ronald Reagan never understood is you can't export revolution like you export a bale of cotton.
Congressman Jim McGovern.
The fact is that while, you know, Havana and Moscow, you know, may have been sympathetic to the revolutionary movements in Central America during the 1980s, they certainly weren't the ones that started it. You know, when you talk to a Salvadoran peasant who may have taken up arms with the FMLN up in the mountains, you know, and you ask them why, it wasn't out of any lust for Marxist ideology. You know, they wouldn't know Karl Marx from Groucho Marx. The fact of the matter is they picked up arms because their family was being persecuted, you know, and their human rights were being violated each and every day.
This country gave to my country $1.5 million every single day for 12 years. And I thought, can you imagine what we as a community, without having the war, we could have done with that money? Building schools and making a better society. But of course,
Anna Chavez Fisher.
The United States government had his priorities. I don't really know why the United States was so involved in my country.
The question is, why are we supporting El Salvador?
No, the question was, why are we killing priests in El Salvador?
The answer is, we're not. Now, you be quiet.
President Christiani is trying to do a job for democracy, and the left-wing guerrillas must not take over El Salvador.
President George Herbert Walker Bush. With protesters at a news conference.
Stop the repression in El Salvador! Look at this guy! Look at this fella! What's your position?
Stop the repression in El Salvador! Our tax dollars are killing priests!
And you are listening to an excerpt of a documentary hidden in plain sight. You are listening to Democracy Now! Back in a minute.
You can load us in your buses and behind your prison doors. When you think you've silenced us, there will be 5,000 more. We are gathered here today to put our bodies in harm's way at the school of death and shame. No more murder in our name. You dare to call them freedom fighters. Call the butchers what you will. But from Jara to Allende, it is freedom that you kill. We are gathered here today. Put our bodies in harm's way. At the school of death and shame. No more murder in our name.
David Rovics here on Democracy Now!'s War and Peace Report as we return to Hidden in Plain Sight, directed by John Smihula, narrated by Martin Sheen. The segment begins with Brooks Anderson, who was jailed for his protest at the School of the Americas.
I think we are a part of something far bigger than we understand, and I think history will say this was a very critical moment. I think we are part of a movement that is... Yes, we're going to close the School of Americas, but much more than that, I think we are going to touch the soul of this nation in maybe in ways that the civil rights movement did 35 years ago, and we're going to finally get America on the right side of a global revolution and end the war against the poor. Thank you.
We look at this school and we can see our country
Father Roy Bushwell.
At work in Latin America. On the side of the men with the guns, on the side of the sweatshops, on the side of the IMF and the World Bank, supporting those new conquistadors coming into the countries of Latin America to exploit, to enrich themselves. And we are here today to say that we are on the other side, the side of the poor. We are on the side of life and hope and nonviolence. And we are here today to say, no, not in our name will this continue.
Our goal is to expose and close the U.S. Army School of the Americas. We will act with full respect for our Latin American sisters and brothers, both living and dead.
We will act with full respect for our Latin American sisters and brothers.
Look at some of the comments that you see from their movement. What I'm afraid of, what I see symptoms of, are a few characteristics of lockstep, what I call groupthink, almost a cult of we will not change
Major General John
our vision, our approach, or our dialogue. And I think that's unfortunate. I think they sell themselves short by doing that.
Maria Argueta, 35 years old. Vilma Rodriguez, 2 years old.
Un tercer niño, hijo de Dominga Chavarría.
We cross a white line that they've drawn across the road, saying to us that if we enter Fort Benning, we break in the law.
Father Robergeois.
We're trespassing. And the many who cross that line say there is a higher law. There's a law that says thou shalt not kill. There's a law that says in our hearts and in our faith that we are to be healers, that we are to walk in solidarity with the poor. And on this day, that's the law we're going to follow.
Modesto Marquez, 6 years old, son of Lorenza Marquez.
Presente. 99 protesters have served six-month sentences. Father Robergeois has served a total of 4 years.
I think it's horrible that people are arrested and harassed when they're exercising their First Amendment rights.
Congressmember Barbara Lee.
Part of how we work in this country and how we allow people to voice their opinion is by peaceful protest. And I certainly think that people who are doing that at Fort Benning, Georgia are very courageous. They should not be arrested. They should be allowed to protest what I think is a very outrageous operation funded by the United States taxpayer.
We want this school of assassins, this school of horror, this school of death shut down. And we will shut it down.
In May of 2000, the House of Representatives voted by a 214 to 204 margin to close the School of the Americas. The SOA closed December 15, 2000.
School's closed. It's gone.
This is Major General
Julian.
The School
of the Americas has closed.
This is Congressman Sanford Bishop.
It is closed. There's no such thing.
In the same vote, Congress approved the Pentagon proposal to open a new school, the Western Hemispheric Institute for Security Cooperation, opened January 17, 2001. It occupies the former School of the Americas building at Fort Benning, Georgia.
The School of the Americas still exists. It's
Michael
come
Brennan.
Under heavy fire and growing fire, and so to deflect that fire, the U.S. has now changed the name of the School of the Americas to, and it's such a mouthful that I've got to read it, it's now called the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. It has a very neutralizing, numbing mouthful of words, and to make it therefore a less recognizable target. The idea, the pretension is now with a new name, it's a new institution, and all the past crimes that it's perpetrated are no longer of account.
The change to the Institute, it gives us an opportunity to focus on the challenges and the threats of today and the threats we face throughout the 21st century.
Colonel Richard Downey, Director of WISC.
We won't be inhibited or restrained by the Cold War thrust or the past. We really, truly can start with a blank page, and that has been my task.
The new Western Hemisphere Institute still teaches the same identical Army subjects that the School of the Americas taught last year and 10 years ago at Fort Benning. Nothing has really changed.
Retired Major General Joseph Blair.
They have created many courses with titles that look like the Institute exists to teach democracy and human rights, but most of these courses are offered but never taught. When a few are taught, they will have a handful of 4 or 5 students attend them, while 95% of the officers that take training are taking Army combat officer training courses to learn military specialty skills.
What is it that we're promoting with our taxes and not asking the government, what is it that you're doing with our taxes? Why are you having a School of the Americans instead of a school for peace?
Colombian activist actor Aristides Abal.
It goes against the
values
and traditions of the United States of America. We're a better country
and we should not be have any part of this. You know, we should be a force to help promote nonviolence and peaceful solutions. We should be a force to provide people food when they're hungry and solutions to difficult problems. We shouldn't be in the business of making conflicts worse and making people's lives more miserable.
On May 10th, 2001, Jim McGovern and five other representatives introduce House Bill 1810 to close the Western Hemispheric Institute for Security Cooperation, known as WISC. The bill did not pass. In 2003, Congressman McGovern will introduce another bill. This is Colombian activist Hector Aristizabal.
Especially in the last 2 years, the School of the Americas' main users are Colombian soldiers, thanks to the Plan Colombia and all the money. And that's not what Colombia needs today.
Plan Colombia,
Sandra Alvarez of Global Exchange.
By the Pastrana administration and by the U.S. government here. It was designed supposedly to stop drug trafficking from Colombia and strengthen democracy and help revive the economy in Colombia.
I think it's very difficult to argue that the money the United States is giving to the Colombian army in Plan Colombia is really aimed at fighting drugs.
American
the operations that it's
William
funding are all targeted at areas where the guerrillas are operating and have been operating for many, many years. There are lots of areas where paramilitary armies of the right are growing and transshipping drugs. We're not targeting those areas in this plan. So it really looks like a counterinsurgency program masquerading as a counter-narcotics program.
Right now, they are using this money to fumigate, and they are fumigating the poorest areas in the country, and they are fumigating with chemicals from Monsanto and all our chemical industries.
Hector Aristizabal.
That has been forbidden everywhere else because they are harmful to the human being. There, they're fumigating people, children.
La fumigación está demostrando que no va detrás de acabar.
The fumigation is showing that
it's
not about destroying coca, but it's about displacing the community where there is petroleum and where there's riches. And they're using the mask of the anti-drug policies to remove these people from this region in order to extract petroleum. Those are the words of an anonymous human rights activist.
Venezuela and Ecuador.
Sandra Alvarez.
There is more oil coming from there than from the Middle East these days. And so there's a lot more attention that's going to be paid to Colombia, whether it's under the guise of fighting drugs or whether it's fighting terrorism, but with the goal of securing oil for the United States.
I'm Colombian, and I know that last year there were 425 massacres in Colombia. Last year, when the U.S. only gave $300 million in military aid. This year, over the next 2 years, it's $1.3 billion in aid. How many more massacres will occur?
Sandra Alvarez is with Global Exchange.
We are calling
Father Roy Bourgeois,
the CIA and the State Department and our embassies to declassify thousands of documents that they have on those graduates. Case in point, for example, General Hector Gramajo, former defense minister from Guatemala. We knew he was a graduate. They denied it, but we had to confirm it until finally they had to confirm it. They didn't have a choice. And they gave us the document. And only his name was visible. The rest of the document was all blacked out. Why? Because of national security. What is in that document that they did not want us to see?
11 Guatemalans and I filed a joint lawsuit against General Hector Gramajo.
Sister Diana Ortiz.
And in April of 1995, a U.S. federal judge found him guilty of murder and torture. And Gramajo was ordered to pay $47.5 million in punitive damages to his plaintiffs. And as of today, he has not paid 1 cent. He has not served time behind bars, and he continues to walk a free man, enjoying impunity.
We, the people, are involved in supporting a government which is training terrorism at the same time that it purports to be fighting a war against terrorism.
Andres Tomas Contreras.
The people involved in doing this in our government now are people like John Negroponte, the current U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. John Negroponte was involved in building death squads in Honduras when he was the U.S. ambassador there in the early 80s. We have people now involved in state terrorism, and these are the ones that we need to be investigating now.
It's ironic that the new Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation at Fort Benning has as its commanding general Major General LeMoyne, who was, as a colonel, the lead brigade commander that was involved in one of the most severe human rights violations against the Iraqi people.
Former SOA instructor Joseph Blair, retired Major General.
This alone sends a message to the Latin American military that even at the highest levels, the military officer is immune to prosecution and punishment for crimes. It certainly doesn't send a message that we respect democratic principles or human rights.
I believe that we need some form of a truth and justice commission in this country for a variety of reasons.
Congressmember Barbara Lee.
That our government has overthrown governments and has funded opposition groups to destabilize countries throughout the world.
The prime responsibility of anyone who has even a particle of moral sensibility,
just
to look at yourself. Very easy to condemn the crimes of others, and they're often worth condemning. Much harder is to look in the mirror and say, who am I? You know, what have I done?
How do we heal our wounds
Hector
for all
Arstis
the things that have been done in our name in other places in the world? Because I don't think we have done that. We're in amazing denial of everything that we have done in the world.
I just wish that there would be answers to what happened to my country. I just was in disbelief when I found out that the United States was responsible for all those killings. And I asked myself, who is going to punish? Who is going to punish the government of the United States for doing this to my country? Who?
Salvador Inanna Chavez Fisher, and that does it for the excerpts of the new film, Hidden in Plain Sight. If you would like to get information about this film, you can send email to info@hiddeninplainsight.org or call the filmmaker at 202-232-1999, 202-232-1999, Hidden in Plain Sight, directed by John Smahula, narrated by Martin Sheen. Democracy Now!'s website is democracynow.org. Our email address, mail@democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Chris Abrams, Mike Burke, Angie Karen, Anna Noguera, Alex Wolf. Mike DeFilippo is our engineer and music maestro. You're listening to Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. This is the War and Peace Report.
Four winds, seven seas, relative humanities. Everywhere.